Matthew 11, a while back, dealing with a message series, I suppose, on the person in the pew, what God expects from you. I understand we recognize and expect the preacher to be such and such, and that's right, there's no doubt. But we many times have misunderstood that concept, and we think that somehow the preacher is supposed to be something that the people aren't. That is not true. But as far as our spiritual walk, as far as our spiritual desire, as far as our spiritual responsibility, there is no difference between the pew and the pulpit. God expects the same thing from you as He does from the preacher. Now, there's no doubt the result of my failure and your failure would be different because of the position God's placed me in. But the responsibility is the same. The person in the pews talking about you. Don't want you thinking about anybody else this morning. Just think about you. This is for you. I've looked at God expects all preacher and person. God expects us all to have a supernatural conversion. We all need to be saved. God expects us all, secondly, to have a sweet communion, that walk, that communion with the Lord. I want to look this morning and God expects us all to have a steadfast commitment. You can look at this one of two ways. You can look at this message and say, are you kidding me? With all that's going on, you want us to continue and be steadfast and committed and do all that we're supposed to do in spite of all that's going on? I say yes. You look at it that way, or you can also look at it like this. Because of all that's going on, we need to be steadfast like never before. This that's going on in our world and our country does not excuse us from doing what's right. And when trials come and problems come and things get difficult, if there's ever a time we need to be steadfast and steadfastly committed, it is then. We're facing those days. Look in verse 29. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Jesus said, not just to the preacher, even though he's talking to the disciples, he's talking to others that were following him. He says to all, take my yoke upon you. That has the idea of taking a commitment, taking a responsibility. And the yoke is something that you don't just put on for a couple of minutes or a couple of seconds. You put it on and keep it on till the job is done. So I look this morning, and God expects us all to have a steadfast commitment, consistent, constant. There's nothing any good if it isn't consistent. Was awakened to the joy last night of finding out that our air conditioner has decided to quit. Well, now, it's been faithful most of the time, but I'll tell you what, when we got the warmth going into the house last night, that almost all the time being faithful didn't help us a bit. How would you like to have a refrigerator that ran most of the time? How would you like to have a car you could depend on most of the time? Whoa. What if you had a wife or a husband you could trust half the time? Or what if they were faithful 95% of the time? 95%, pretty good, but it ain't good enough. Hope it isn't. We need to be consistent. We need to be faithful. Well, the problems with the business world is you can't find anybody you can depend on anymore. You can't find anybody who will do what they claim to do. Can I fix it? Sure. Will I? I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. Our world is falling apart, and if we aren't careful, we as God's people will go down with it. As far as our consistency, it takes so little to make us quit. It takes so little to slow us down. or to cause us to sway. And it should not be that way. We need to be consistent. We need to be steadfastly consistent. I'm talking this morning about a steadfast commitment. What kind of commitment is that? It's the type of commitment that will save your soul. You say, what are you talking about? Commitment and saving your soul? Yeah. Notice what Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. Salvation is more than give me, forgive me, save me, take my sin away. I receive what you've got for me, God. Salvation's more than that. Salvation's a two-way street. Salvation is not only us taking from God, but it is us giving ourselves to Him. Lord, I've made a mess of my life. Please take it. Lord, I accept your salvation, and I give you myself at the same time. It is a commitment to Him. He's the one that said, take my yoke upon you. He's the one that said it like He did. And the type of commitment that I'm talking about this morning is a type of commitment that will save your soul. It's the kind that where you surrender to Him. You see, that's what commitment is. I surrender. I give you my all. I tell you what, that's what I did when I got saved. Lord, I have made a mess of my life, and I'm tired of trying. I give it to you. And in essence, I'm saying here, do with me what you will. I surrender, I yield, I commit it to you. And that's the kind of commitment I'm talking about this morning. And if you haven't made that commitment, and I use the word carefully, if you have not made that kind of salvation commitment, you need to. I say this morning, we need a steadfast commitment, not just the pulpit, but the pew, the preacher, and the person in the pulpit. Then comes helpless before God and says, Lord, I'm giving you my nothing. I'm giving you my mess. A steadfast commitment is the kind of commitment that'll save your soul. A steadfast commitment is that will show your salvation. It doesn't just save your soul. It shows your salvation. I mean by that exactly what Jesus said in Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works. He said, that I have worked in you at your point of salvation. That I'm working in you now consistently as you walk with me. He said, let that shine. Let that out. A real commitment, a real salvation will show itself. The steadfast commitment I'm talking about this morning is one that will save your soul when you say, Lord, I give it all to you. Save me, forgive me, make me one of yours. Oh, take over my life. It's the type of commitment that will save your soul, but it's also the kind of commitment that will show your salvation. Real salvation will show up on you. It'll reveal itself. There's a difference inside, and it reveals itself outside. Real salvation changes you. Some people don't mind taking Christ as long as it doesn't cost them anything. Save me? Sure, go ahead. Take my problems? Sure, I'm all for that. Give me a life of ease? Oh, yeah, I'll sign up for that. I'll check the line. Where do I sign? I want that right now. But when it comes to a life that says, Lord, what do you want me to do? What would you have for me? All of a sudden, people's opinions change. And the kind of commitment I'm talking about this morning is the kind of commitment that shows people and shows us ourselves that we really are saved. Oh, a lot of people want a salvation that'll take them to heaven, but that's all they care about. And if I can have a God that'll answer my prayer, I'm all for that. But not a God that expects anything from me. Not a God that expects me to do something or change my habits. That's not the kind of salvation I want. That's not the kind of God I want. God news for us all. That's the only kind of salvation there is. That says, God, I want you to let me. I want you to use me. I want to do your will. Oh, just like those that were following Jesus. John 6:66. When he was giving and healing and doing good, they were right there. Boy, when there was food to eat, and boy, there was bread being blessed, and there were fishes being multiplied, they were there. But when he started making demands of them, somehow they just disappeared into the thin air. And the Bible says that they left because they were not of him. I tell you, there's a lack of commitment in our day also. It makes me wonder how many of us really are saved. Not doubting anybody here, I'm not. But I'm just saying real salvation will show up on us. God expects us to have a steadfast commitment, the kind that will save your soul. Lord, here I am, I give you myself. That'll show your salvation. Lord, my life is in your hand. Do with me what you will. That's why the Lord said through Paul, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He said, give your body, your all to him like a living sacrifice. That sacrifice that was slain at the altar gave it all. He died, gave his life, held back nothing. And God says, I don't want you dead. I want you living, but I want you all. I want all of you. And by the way, he said, which is your reasonable service? God's not expecting too much of us. He's not demanding too much of us. He's not being unreasonable. His son gave his life for us. He gave his son for us. He bankrupted heaven for us. What he asks of us is not unreasonable, no matter what he asks of us. And he asks us to just be committed to me. Live for me. Let me be God in your life. I'm talking this morning about God expects all of us to have a steadfast commitment. The kind of commitment that will save your soul, the kind of commitment that will show your salvation, the kind of commitment that will stop your sin. It ain't just the preacher supposed to live right. It ain't just the preacher supposed to be against sin. Everybody is. Got news for us. If it's wrong for the preacher, it's wrong for the pew. If it's wrong for the pulpit, it's wrong for the person. It is wrong if it's wrong. Isaiah 55:7 says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Oh. That's why he said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. He expects, he demands, and he has a right to say, I want a holy people. There are some things that are right, there are some things that are wrong, and no matter who it is, it's still right, it's still wrong. And it doesn't matter the situation. I tell you what, we're going through trials right now, but that does not excuse us from doing the right thing. In fact, I think it ought to compel us to do the right thing now, like maybe never before. I'm talking about a kind of commitment that'll stop us from sinning. A kind of commitment that'll say, I am not going to do wrong. I'm going to do right with God's help and by God's grace. That's the kind of commitment I'm talking about. To doing things that'll please him and not our flesh. Doing things that'll please him and not our flesh. Anybody can do what they want to do. Anybody can go the easy way. But it takes some spiritual commitment to say, no, flesh, it's wrong. I'm not going to do it because the Bible says it's wrong. I'm talking this morning about a steadfast commitment. The kind of commitment that will save your soul and will show your salvation and stop your sin and satisfy your Savior. After all, that ought to be our desire. That we would satisfy him. I'll be honest. I may be satisfied with my life. By the way, I'm not. But whether I am or not, or you are or not, does not matter. At least should not matter. What should matter is he satisfied? Is he satisfied? Is he pleased? We talk about him saying, well done, when we get to heaven. Well, I hope he can. But I know this, he will not say well done up there if we didn't do well down here. And if we're not doing well now, he ain't going to say it when we get there. We need to do well. We need to do right because it's right. We need to realize just how important it is to say, Lord, it's not my life after all, it's yours. It's not my will, it's yours. It's not what I want, it's what you want. One of the saddest couple of verses in the Bible is in Genesis 49, 3 and 4. Jacob, who would be called Israel, said this about his elder son, the oldest. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, the one that I had such high expectations about and such dreams. Firstborn, first boy. Boy, God's going to use this boy. Hell, God's given me a gift of a boy, and he's going to use this boy. It's what Jacob thought. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, born my might. What is in me is in you. You got strength. You got ability. Thou art my firstborn, my might, the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, the excellency of power. My goodness, what a boy Reuben must have been. Right? Wrong. He's continued his explanation of this boy. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. Reuben had so much going for him, he could have been a mighty man of God, led people and walking with God and been such a testimony and such an encouragement and such an influence. But the one thing that blew it all away was, you're unstable, boy. You're just like water. You're unstable. What does that mean? You're not committed. You're not committed. You won't stay to the task. You go from here to there. You do what you want to do. You do what you desire instead of what God desires. He had so much going for him, but he lacked one thing: commitment. So I want to say, in closing, which you have learned to ignore that word, I hope, by now. All it means is to turn the page slowly, which means nothing, except for I turn the page slowly. A steadfast commitment is what I've been talking about this morning. It deals with our desire. I appreciate Chester being honest this morning. Probably wasn't easy. But I'll tell you one thing, what he said about himself applies to a lot of us, I believe, if we'll pay attention. I don't know if you got the phone tree message a couple of weeks ago. I hope you did. But I said, there's something I'm afraid of. And it's not this virus. It's not this germ. It's not people getting sick. What I'm afraid of is what I am sensing, not just here, but every church I know of, a diminishing of desire, a losing of the thirst, a diminishing of the spiritual desire and thirst and hunger, the spiritual temperature slowly going down. That scares me. Now, I believe the Lord's protected us. And I thank you for being here. It's a measure of faith that you're here, by the way, and I appreciate that. Don't take it lightly. But I want to tell you something. During all this conflict of all that's going on, if we're not careful, the desire to serve God, the desire to say, I'm going to serve Him, will diminish. And the desire of saying, oh, I want God and I need God. I want to please Him. I want to stay committed. I don't want to wander. I don't want to slack off. Some of you, it's already happened or it's happening right now. That tells me one reason why God has established church is so important that we come, because we need what we can get when we come here. I'm talking this morning about steadfast commitment deals with our desire. What do you love? What stirs you? What do you like? What do you get excited about? new golf club, new car, the TV show, the sale, the hobby, the business, the career, the money, the applause, the popularity, or the things of God. I'm talking about a steadfast commitment means I want it. I want it. A desire. It starts with desire. What do we want? If you don't want it, you won't seek after it. But if you do, no cost is too high. If you want it enough, you may pay $50,000 for a car that's worth $30,000. But if you want it, it's worth it. By the way, it ain't worth it, but if you want it, it's worth it. Because you want it. Oh, then God would stir our desire for Him again. Then God would stir our thirst for Him again. Then God would make us like that verse Chester looked at, like that deer that panted, oh my, wanted that water, needed that water. I thought while he was teaching, it's not just do I want water, that's thirst. Well, I'm so thirsty, I'd love to have a drink of water. But thirst also means what I need. When we lose that hydration, you know what? You'll get to where you're not even thirsty, but boy, you need water. And there may be somebody here, including this preacher, you're dehydrated spiritually, and you don't even want it anymore because you've gone so far. But I'll tell you one thing, you still need it. Desire, desire. What do you want? What do you love? What comes first in your life? A steadfast commitment deals with our desire. It also deals with our dedication. Thought about the athletes, Olympic athletes, any athlete that excels. There's something about them that elevates them above the average. Now, there's no doubt they're talented in whatever field they're playing or sport they're participating in. They have talent. But it takes more than talent. It takes that desire I've talked about, the want to, but it also takes dedication. They love the sport and desire to play it, but not be dedicated if you get up out of bed early to practice. It takes, you know what makes the difference between an Olympic gold medal winner and somebody that plays the sport on weekends? A lot involved, but one thing, dedication. They dedicate themselves to that they love. They desire it, and they dedicate themselves to it. And the kind of commitment I'm talking about this morning means dedication. Doing the right thing and doing the right thing again. And sometimes when I don't even want to do right, I do right because it's right. That's dedication. And that's what we need. And that's what God expects from everybody. We expect it from the preacher, rightly so, rightly so. But God expects it from you too. Just as committed, just as dedicated. Committed to God and His will. And I'll pull one thing out of the hat, because I ain't got time to pull all my things out of my hat. One thing, and I'll emphasize the importance of church again. God designed the church for His people to help us. And there are some things I'll say again, He will do here that He will not do for us anywhere else. I'm reminded of the early church Christians who were, by the way, dedicated to God. In trials, in times when they were whipped and in prison, and they refused to let them go and worship, and they did anyway, and they put them to prison, and they whipped them, and they killed some of them, and those people kept on serving God and kept serving God because they wanted to and because they were dedicated. Steadfast commitment. But during their day, listen to what they were emphasizing. Acts 2:41. Don't turn, just listen. Then they gladly received His word and were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They received the word. They were open to what God said because they knew I need what God says. And I'm going to apply it to my life. I'm not going to ignore it. I'm not going to say, well, that's good for somebody else. I wish Bill was here. Boy, he needed that message. No, no, no. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to me. They received the word. They were open to what God said. And then they got saved, of course, and they were baptized. They were doing what they were supposed to do. There was a commitment. And it said they were added unto them. I really believe that means they joined the church. Because, listen, they are committed. There's a commitment involved. They're saved now. They're changed now. They're a Christian now. And they're showing it by their commitment. And Acts 2:46 says, and they continuing, hear that word, daily with one accord in the temple. Man, you think three times a week's tough. They went to church every day. And they continue to do it because they realize the importance of it and they realize the need of it. A steadfast commitment. It deals with our dedication, how dedicated we are to that we should be dedicated to. Some people look for a church or look at church like buying a new sofa. I want something comfortable and something that's very low maintenance. Just give me something I can relax in and feel good in, but nothing that's going to require a whole lot of effort on my point. And a lot of people expect that from a church. In other words, give me, give me, give me. I want, but don't expect anything from me. I am here to get, not to give. Shows our lack of dedication. Talking about steadfast commitment deals with our dedication. A lot of people look at church about, well, what's in it for me and mine? I struggle with this a lot. People nowadays, when they're shopping for a church, especially their parents with children, the first thing they look at is, well, what do they offer my children? And I understand that, I do. Because we should want our children to have a spiritual education and a spiritual influence and a spiritual atmosphere at church. And a church should be oriented toward that. But that should not be the first priority of looking for a church. The first priority should be, where does God want me? Because we got news. Listen, God wants us at a church. No matter what, God wants us at a particular church. But nowadays, people are looking for, well, what do they offer? And they will absolutely chunk standards and chunk doctrine for little junior getting to play games. And I got news for us. When a family decides what church to go to because junior likes it, we're in trouble. I told Olivia and Connor yesterday, I think it was, when I was little, we'd go to the grocery store, and I didn't care what kind of cereal it was. I didn't care what flavor, what color, what price. All I wanted was the best prize inside. My shopping was, which is the best prize? And when we'd buy that, and we'd get out in the car, and I'd want to dig in there and get that prize, sometimes my mom would let me, sometimes she wouldn't. And if she didn't let me, I'd get so mad, I'd have to ride all the way home before I could get my prize. I thought, she's abusive, I'm going to call the law and report her. And my point is, probably the cereal I got was horrible for me, but I got my prize. My point is, Junior ain't got sense enough to decide what church to go to. He can't even decide what cereal to buy. And listen to me, you know I'm telling you the truth. I know of a couple right now, I love them. And they are going to a wacko church because they got good things for the little kids. We're in trouble. Church is God's house. Church is where we hear from God. Church is where we get help from God. And He designed it that way. But we need to be dedicated to it. And then I could go on and on and on. Word of God, prayer, I could go on and on and on. But you ain't got time. A lot of folks are looking for a church like a consumer looking for the best deal. Bad thing about it, you'll find a better deal later on if you ain't careful. Because you ain't in the perfect church and you ain't a perfect people and I ain't a perfect preacher. Well, let's go to the last point. Amen, last. Finally said the word. I'm talking this morning about a steadfast commitment, what God wants from us. And by the way, I ain't said nothing bad this morning. This is good stuff. Our God deserves our best. He does. And He wants to give His best to us. And He reserves His best for those who say, I'll serve you. I'm yours. A steadfast commitment deals with our desire, what we want. Our dedication, what we're sold out to. And then a steadfast commitment deals with our determination. I say this carefully. The word determination sounds like, I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. That's not what I'm talking about. It is this, Lord, give me strength, and my life is in your hands. I am committed to it, I am surrendered to it, I am yielded to it. 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain of the Lord. If I erase the last part of that verse that says, as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord, if I took that part off, we ought to still live by the first part. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Whether we're blessed for it or not, we ought to do it. Folks, I'm telling you, I'm warning us. We're living in a time. If we ain't careful, we're going to go down. You're going to go down with the flow if you ain't careful. If ever a time you need to determine in your heart by God's grace, I will not give up. I will not slack down. I will get closer. I will stay where the Lord wants me to be, whether I feel it or not. If my friends do or family do or preacher does or anybody else does, I'm going to walk with the Lord. I'm going to be solely determined by His help to be what He wants me to be. Early church, they died. They were imprisoned. They were whipped. They were mocked. They were rebuked. They were warned. They were threatened. And all they did was just keep on serving God. Kept right on serving Him in spite of what they were going through. That's what we need in this day. He gave His all for us. We ought to give our all to Him. We want His blessings without cost. I'm sorry, that won't work. His best is reserved for those who sell out to Him. Jesus' path wasn't easy, and neither will ours. But His path pleased the Father. And His path, though it was not easy, helped a lot of people. And the walk you're walking will not be easy. It's probably going to get worse. But there's no excuse to slack off. There's all reason to hunker in even deeper. And say, God, please, I need your grace. I will quit. I will quit. I will give up. I don't care in myself. God, stir in my heart and help me be faithful. Help me to walk with you. Help me to do all I can for your glory. Help me to be different. If you're lost this morning, Jesus Christ wants to save you. He loves you enough to where He died for you. I was praying this morning back there in the study. And I thought again, didn't have anybody in my mind. I thought again, wonder if there's someone in our church that's still not really saved. Come to church, profess to be saved, seem like a pretty good person, but not really saved. That burdens me, scares me. But us that are saved, friend, listen, I know it's tough. Really, be honest, it ain't that tough, not compared to what it could be. But it's tough for us. It's hard on us. But there's a time that we need to just say, God, give me grace, go on and do right anyway. And the time has come. It's now. Right there in the pew, if you want to come, this altar's here, by the way. Just trying to be wise.